You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
I'm good. Good morning, man. Things going well?
Yeah, you know what? In the swing of things. Back into routine. I love routine. The older I get, the more I like routine.
I'm liking how these days are getting cooler.
A little bit cooler. Fall is here.
It's nice.
I'm a fan. Kyle is not going to be on speaker today, but he is definitely in the house. So thank you very much, Kyle, for being producer.
Kyle's with us in spirit.
In spirit. Known Legacy, check us out. You know, when you control the soundboard, you can make the applause for yourself
whatever you want to do.
Whenever you want to. Anyways, welcome to, thanks for listening into Known Legacy. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, knownlegacy.org. If you want to pick up Bill's book, he's done the audio version as well on Audible.
Audio, yep.
And, man, if info@knownlegacy.org, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or complaints, that's bill@knownlegacy.org. Anyways.
Bill-2. It'll go right to my inbox.
Right to it.
Don't worry. Complaints go there, so.
All right, boys. So with fall around the corner and the genre of movies that are going to be picking up all over the place is the horror movie genre. And my question to you is... is this a movie that you enjoy? Is this a genre you enjoy? And if so, what is your favorite movie?
Oh, man. So I'm not a big horror movie guy, but when I was a kid, I remember clearly, like, kind of being in the room watching the movie with your friends, you know, and then you're like, yeah, I'm having fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, scared of it. But I remember watching all the Freddy movies, like the Nightmare on Elm Street.
And, hated them.
How they were. And then, was it the Jason movies, which I can't remember the names.
Friday the 13th. Kyle from the back corner.
But I remember there's one part where it was another, I think they all, there's one of them where he's like in the water and they're like canoeing or they're out on the dock or something and the girl gets killed. Like he literally comes up out of the water.
Yeah.
And at that moment, like, I think I hear my mom calling. And so I ran, but here's my problem. I left his house, and between his house and my house is his backyard.
Yeah.
Of like, because when I was a kid, we didn't have fences, and you could play hide and seek and all this kind of stuff. And
I remember it was like the perfect setting for a horror movie.
Oh yeah, well yeah, the trees, and then they would move slightly, and there was always some guy in their backyard. But like at that point, it was Jason, and so like I never ran faster in my life, but I remember running, and man, I'm booking, and I am just going, and all of a sudden. I think I hit like a stump and it was like, poof, and it's like this like quiet and then boom, shh, and you just like slide in. And I just remember,
and you were convinced you were about
to
die.
I'm convinced about that. So I'm like crawling and I get up and I keep running and I get home and I'm like, and then my mom's like, how was your night? I'm like, it was good. Everything was fine. No one was okay. I wasn't getting killed or anything. And
So
I'm not a huge horror movie guy, but I have seen some. What's yours?
So I have been scarred from horror movies. So I was, man, maybe third grade, I think. And I had a friend who we babysat when he was young. And so he was kind of like my older brother. And he decided it was 1984. So it was fourth grade. So whatever age that is, fourth grade. And he decided to take me to Poltergeist in the movie theater.
Ooh.
In the movie theater as a fourth grader. And I left bruises on his arm from squeezing it so tight. I was terrified. And I've never been able to engage in that genre again until a few years ago when The Conjuring came out. And The Conjuring came out, and I'm like, I'm a grown man. I can do this. Nope. I mean, I was screaming like a girl.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, the whole spiritual realm stuff.
My favorite one, though, is politics. And so those usually get me most scared. So just in case that... We do have a guest on today, and so usually it's whatever convention is playing. I'm usually pretty scared, and so but yeah, we do have a guest on today. You can probably
answer
this question.
If anyone's still listening, introduce the guest. If anyone's still out there, again, info@knownlegacy.org. His name is Bill, and you can ask him to stop.
Please be
jokes.
Gracious to me. I am but a man. But hey, we have a guest today. I'm super excited to have him on, and he's actually in studio. We don't have to like pipe him in via video. And so this is Mike Humphrey. Mike, we're so glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are pumped to have you here. And so Mike, you know, you're hearing the story about the horror movie stuff, but what is a movie, or do you like that genre, or has one like defined your
journey? I'll say I don't understand people who love horror movies. Don't get it, because like I just can't put that stuff in my brain and sleep. Like I spoke to a guy the other day that's like, man, I used to love watching horror movies and then just laying there not being able to sleep. You know, and I'm like, what is that? You know, I love my sleep, but I'll say I used to go up to Big Bear, a little kind of up on the mountain down in Southern California, cabin.
Yeah. And landscape we'd be at the cabin. Every horror movie.
And the movie that got me is a weird one, but it was called What Lies Beneath. Have you guys seen that one?
Yes.
So it goes under the
bath.
I
haven't seen it, but I've like,
She's like in the bath, and then like there's like this creepy, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's too scary.
My friend's dad would always go outside and like tap on the windows, you know? So anytime he went missing, we knew like something was going down.
Sadistic,
you know, it was
just father,
terrifying.
Just like the rest of us.
So I've seen like 2-3 horror movies in my entire life. Just because same thing at a friend's house or something, I couldn't wimp out. But man, I don't ever want to see another one again. I hate it.
I'm good.
It. Yeah,
I'm good.
I'm good.
Well, good. I'm so glad to have you on today, man. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because we wanted to have you on, and so finally to get you here in person, we kind of threw this on you. But man, super excited. We'd love you to hear. I'd love to hear your story. And when we first met over some like In-N-Out Burger, which was awesome.
Fantastic.
And man, heard you preach and share.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to share your heart about kind of what brought you to this area, your desire to leave California and come here. So share a little bit about your story.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I need to explain my desire to leave California. Do I? I mean,
that's no. You're good there.
No, I grew up, you know, in San Diego doing ministry. I did youth ministry from about 18 years old all the way to 28 years old,
about
a decade, and still love it. It's probably like my heart, my ministry. I love like preaching to high school students.
Yeah, they're
just incredible kids. So I felt like the Lord was always putting on my heart this desire to plant a church, to kind of minister to a congregation. And that's like something that he was putting on my heart. So I don't think I really wanted to do it. You know,
absolutely.
You hear that from church planters. Like, I never really wanted to plant the church.
Yeah.
But yeah, we felt like the Lord was calling us out here to McKinney. And I mean, we'll get into it, but I felt like there was all these really cool God stories of how the Lord was leading us specifically out here. But really our heart is to just teach God's word faithfully and to love people well. I mean, I feel like a lot of times churches have really good Bible teaching, but they're not always getting out into the community. Or sometimes they're really getting out into the community, but they're not really doing solid Bible teaching.
Yeah.
So we're just out here to plant the perfect church, you know?
There
no
it is.
No
That's
issues,
it.
No mistakes. It's just going to be
no arguments.
The church in heaven.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
That's a horror movie waiting to be played.
Oh, boy, has it been. That's for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So cool. So, okay, so you said you decided to move out here.
Yeah.
Was there, like, when you said, like, okay, I didn't really want to, what was the process that you kind of walked through with, okay, I really don't want to do this, but what made you go, okay, I just got to do this?
Yeah, so, man, so I was at the Rock Church in San Diego. Big old mega church, awesome church, man. Pastor Miles McPherson, I got nothing but positive things to say about him. Evangelist, really loves the community well. But I just still felt this piece of me that was like, you know what, you need to be preaching to a congregation line upon line through God's word. And I wasn't doing it there, you know, and I was doing other great things. I was doing other ministry things. But there comes a point in ministry when you feel like someone else can do what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
But no one else can do what God's called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to step out in faith and do it, you know. And so it started with a family that was going to move out here and plant. But they were in their 70s. They're like, hey, we don't feel like we're supposed to plant. Maybe you're going to plant. And I'm like, man, I actually want to. So we kind of started praying together and looking at the area. And we felt like God really confirmed that this was where we were supposed to be. I mean, and just to let your audience know, we're like upstairs from the studio.
Yeah, you're literally like
our church
like
is
100
right
feet.
Above you.
100 feet. Maybe it's like 15 feet.
We can smell the smoke.
Exactly.
You know, like,
you can smell the smoke from the cigar shop.
Exactly, yeah. That's
we awesome. Should let everyone know as well that the studio is really a cigar shop. So
yeah, we really do have it's really a cigar shop.
We call it a studio, but
it's smoking hot.
That's really cool you let them sell cigars out of your studio.
Exactly,
studio.
Well, you got to make money somehow.
Yeah. Pay those bills, baby.
Yeah.
Talk to Ryan. There's a lot of bills to pay.
There's a lot of bills to pay. That's funny. So again, thank you so much for letting us be here, Ryan. You're amazing. So, but okay, so you got started. What were some of the bumps and like roadblocks that you hit when you were coming in? Like, what were some of the things that you were like, man, I didn't expect this?
Oh gosh, I have to answer this question. Right?
Yeah, as nice as you can.
Well, okay. So, how long have you guys been at it?
Like, okay, so
what's the timetable?
We've lived in McKinney for about 3.5 years now.
Okay.
And we kind of came out here, hit the ground running, at least
right after COVID.
Yeah, right after COVID, we came out here. So we're a post-COVID church, and our assumption was, man, people are gonna want to be out here doing small church.
Yeah,
that's what they want.
Yeah.
You know? But in reality, there were still people that were like, I don't want to leave my house yet. You know, and So anyways, we've been out here for, a little over about 3 years doing the church plant thing. And really, when we came out here, we didn't have this big, massive church planting strategy. We were just like, hey, we got 3 kids. Let's put them in soccer. And let's start meeting families out here in soccer. And so we just started connecting with people and doing our thing. Does that answer your question? I think that was... What was the original
question? That answers the question.
Yeah.
And then he asked, what are some of the roadblocks that you've experienced over those 3.5 years?
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
That kind of, will give us insights. And I love the posture, by the way. And just for the guys that are listening in, strategy is fantastic. And I love guys and women that can come up with clever, mission statements and vision statements. But at the end of the day, I think church planting, what it has pressed into me, and I hear it in you too, is, dude, it's prayer. It's prayer. And if large churches would re-engage in that, we don't do anything without obnoxious amounts of prayer because it won't succeed without that. I think our church in North America would be very different than what it is today.
Kudos. It's funny, even when we do known legacy stuff and people are, we start to meet with pastors and men's ministries, like, what's the plan? Like, how many times do you meet a month? And I'm like, it's not about that. It's honestly, if we help these men come alive, then they're going to sacrifice for what they find most valuable. It's not, we get in there 3 times a week and then boom, it magically happens. So you're right, the process kind of takes second fiddle to the purpose behind it all.
Correct.
And so I love that. So share kind of some of the roadblocks, some of that purpose of, like, this is what we wanted to start with.
I've heard before, ministry would be easy if it weren't for all the people, right?
Too true.
And so, hopefully that segues into my answer. I love people, and we've had some incredible people. We've met some wonderful people that we've gotten close with. We've done life with them. We've done Thanksgiving at their house.
That's awesome.
Like, incredible stuff.
Yeah.
But we've also run into some people who have some really deep, deep-rooted issues with church.
Yeah.
Some of them are justified. Some of them weren't necessarily super justified, and a lot of that stuff comes out when they're connecting with a new church. And I think people see a new church plant as, this is an opportunity for me to come influence, for me to change.
For my agenda
to be forward.
Because
all the issues I didn't like with the church, I'm going to make sure this pastor doesn't implement any of those things. Ooh. I'm going to make sure that I'm on leadership so I can influence this church to be the type of church we want it to be. And we ran into some serious issues with that, And we tried the best we could to just love people and to give grace. But, man, some people, they're on an agenda. They're on a mission. They have an agenda.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who comes into your church with an agenda, that's a red flag right off the bat.
Yep.
Yeah,
if you got a motive, you're coming here other than, hey, I just want to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
How can I be of use? Can I serve? I mean, we've got people at our church that just take the trash out after church. I never asked them to do it. They just walk around, they take the trashes out. I'm like, that's fantastic. Look at that. Those are the types of people that you're looking for.
Those are the guys you want to make the deacons.
Right?
I remember Mike Weaver was like, the last thing his father did was take out the trash and clean all the toilets and things like that. And you're like, can you lead the church, please? Like, is there a way that you could be in charge?
It's
those kind of hearts that you want.
Well, dude,
have you felt like, man, this is God is leading us. Do you know kind of what you want to do next step? Like, man, we just want to continue to do this or what's your thoughts on all that?
Yeah. So like I said, our church, really the foundational heart behind our church, the mission of our church is to preach the gospel and make disciples.
Amen.
So really
That's awesome.
it's just small. It's fellowship. It's service in the community and it's Bible teaching. That's really it. I mean, prayer, getting together. We try to get together as much as possible. Like, there's a place out here that we throw axes, it's just like an axe throwing place.
Yeah.
So we just got all the dudes together. We're like, hey, let's go throw axes. And my son, he's 13. He won a take home axe, but we all got together, ate burritos, fellowship, did life together.
Yeah.
And then we come together on Sundays. We teach God's word. Then
That's
we get
awesome.
Together midweek. We're actually relaunching our community groups and we're just going to be getting together and praying and fellowship, getting deeper together. But our mission is just so simple. And I feel like if we just stay committed to the faithful teaching God's word and praying and being in fellowship together, that God's going to continue to add to the numbers daily. Like you said, in the book of Acts, eating together, we eat a lot of food too. We got to just eat, teach, pray. That's it. That's our mission. It's going to be simple. I don't know if you're expecting a bigger plan.
I think it is stripped down. If you knew us, we're pretty simple people. So we're like, we need an A and a B, and if we can color it in, we're even better. And
so things
like that. But I guess I would say, what would you say to someone who's like, they have it on their heart, man, I want to maybe do church planning. What's some litmus test for them? For the guy who's like, I don't know if it really is what God's called me to.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who's like, man, I know that I'm supposed to do this. So maybe it's a 2-part question. What would you say to someone if they're like, hey man, I'm thinking of, I'm planning a church. What advice would you give them?
Okay. I'm going to tell you something that my wife a question my wife asked me before we planted, and it stuck with me. She said, Mike, do you want to plant a church or do you want to teach? I think that's a great question to ask.
Okay.
Because a lot of people want to teach. A lot of people want to preach. A lot of people feel like, man, I have a gift of preaching. And so they assume that's what a senior pastor does, is they preach, right? I mean, that's such a small percentage of what a senior pastor does. So the question is, are you apostolic? Do you want to build something new? Do you want to create something from scratch? Do you want to, assemble a board? Do you want to do paperwork? Do you want to see if you can organize teams? I mean, these are all things that you have to do as a senior pastor. I mean, I was in there swinging a hammer, you know, and fixing AC, and I'm on the phone with landlords. I mean, it's a whole different beast. It's like, do you want to start a coffee shop from scratch? Do you want to start a small business? I mean, it's really all packed in together. So you got to figure out, I'd say the litmus test is, what are your strengths? What are you actually gifted at doing? And you don't have to be good at all of them, but you got to have those people on your team that are good at those things, or else you're going to be like me, a preacher trying to plant a church. And I'm right now just finding the right people 3 years into it to kind of come alongside me. So I'd say find those entrepreneurs, find those people who are builders, who are starters. Or if you're a builder starter and you're not a preacher, you could still plant a church and empower a preacher. Right? I mean, I think the model right now is senior pastor does everything. You're a contractor, you're a business leader, you're a preacher, you're a discipler, you're a counselor. I mean, it's too much weight on one human being. So I'd say the greatest gift set you're looking for is somebody who really can disciple and empower others to live out their giftings, for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And the one thing I would add to that is really wrestle with the question, if there's anything else you can do, would you do it?
Absolutely.
Because it is an all-in, burn the ship. You and your family have got to be 100% all-in and understand, like this becomes an all-consuming thing. It's not like you can just check out. It's not like it's bizarre. And so guys that are like, man, I love to church plant. First off, I think sometimes they have an agenda that, you know, they want to preach and they want to mold their own kind of mini community. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, dude, if there's something else you can do, do it.
Do it.
If there's nothing else you can do, then maybe that's what God's calling you to.
I remember when I was being sent out by the Rock Church, Pastor Miles, we were at a staff meeting and he said, you don't get into the ring with Mike Tyson and expect not to get hit in the face. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what Mike's doing is he's going out and he's going to get hit in the face. He's going out and the enemy's like, let's go. Let's throw down.
Yeah.
And I'll say that 100%. I agree with you. If you are not ready to face like incredible opposition, then don't do it.
Right.
You know, I mean, Nehemiah building the wall, he just had people against him the entire time. Coming against him. It's like, you're expecting it. You're walking into a spiritual battle that's greater than anything before. And I feel like once I planted this church, I'd been a pastor for a decade before planting this church. I felt like I was in JV.
Yep.
I felt like I was playing pretend. I was on a freshman team.
Yep.
I was completely pretending the entire time. I mean, there was still good work that happened.
Yeah.
But it was nothing. Like, now I feel like there could be a biblical story written about my life, you know? Not that I'm the prophet Elijah. I'm more like, one of them stumbling prophets that's making, you know, I'm like Jonah, messing up the whole way, but still. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I think that's the tension. I think there's these ideas of like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fix what I just saw broken.
Yeah.
Versus it being, God, are you really calling me to this? So I love that you said that, because I think there is these moments where we want to see churches raised up. I mean, I still believe wholeheartedly that this is his body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to have the guys who go, I'm in this for not me and for everybody else around me. I love that heart. So now you said you're married?
I am. Yeah. Okay. Married. Been married for 15 years. So I got married when I was 20 years old.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Well done. Yes. Appreciate it.
Get that done
when you
early.
Catch yeah. You find the good one. You're like, now you're stuck with me.
Yeah. I'm like, I know I can't do better than this woman right here. So I just locked it down.
When
you know,
you marry up. You marry up.
Absolutely. Yeah, side, exactly. Baby. Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah. I also have 3 kids. My oldest is 13, Elijah, okay. Avery's 12, and Jack is 10. So back to back. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, man. So, and you meet, what's your service times? What's the name of your church?
It's Revive Church.
Revive Church.
We're out here in McKinney, Texas, and we meet at 10 a.m. And so, yeah, if you want to come check us out, we'll be there.
If you're in this area, I mean, how do they get a hold of you guys? Is it Revive? Like, what's your website?
Yeah, so it's revivemckinney.com.
Okay.
Revivemckinney.com. Check it out. Yeah, we have a contact page you want to reach out. But really, like, we're teaching in Genesis right now. So if you show up, we're in Genesis, you know, and then we're going to be in Genesis for like another year. So you got time to show up, you know, if you're wanting some Genesis, you know.
Well, yeah, let me ask you about that too, because I love the exegetical teaching like that more than it. So share why you desire to do that versus just topical teaching.
Well, I'll say there's two reasons. Number one, I feel like the best way to grow in your faith is to go through God's word. I just think it's that simple. You know, if you're going through God's word, learning it, that you're going to grow. Yeah. Second thing is, I don't want the weight on my shoulders to say, what is it that this congregation needs this week? I feel like then I'm going to be picking and choosing, and maybe over and over and over again, I'm teaching on humility, and then, or over and over again, I'm teaching on giving or something, and people are getting offended. And it's like, no, I'm teaching through God's word. So if we're teaching on giving, you're going to get giving.
Yeah.
And if we're teaching on humility, you're going to get some humility. And if you're offended, it's because the Lord put us in that scripture.
Right.
You know, and I love that.
Trusting the Spirit to guide. And do in the heart of man what only the Spirit can do.
The Spirit keeps me accountable. I got to teach this. I taught on Sodom and Gomorrah. I never said the word foreskins more in my entire life than in that hour. It's ridiculous. But, man, we taught it.
I'm glad I waited a minute. Me and you be sitting going.
Yeah, just giggling.
It's not a two-skin. It's a foreskin.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
But I love that idea. It's simple. It works. But it also challenges men in their faith consistently. I think a lot of guys feel like, I have to know so much to lead my family.
Nope.
Yeah. What would you say to the dads in your church? Like, hey, how am I supposed to lead my family? I mean, like what kind of example should they be?
Well, man, I feel like a man needs to have a strong relationship with the Lord. Mm. If that's not in alignment, things are going to be off.
Yeah.
It's got to be between you and him first. You know,
absolutely.
I had a guy one time who was addicted to pain pills come into our church and ask if he could, you know, have some help. And he's like, I know I need to go to rehab, but man, I don't know. I got a 2-year-old son. And I'm like, buddy, you got to go. Like, I know you're going to miss your son, but go take care of yourself.
Yeah,
you go get help. You go get healthy and then come back. And I feel like that's true spiritually. If you're spiritually sick, if you're spiritually burdened, if you're not going to prayer on your own, you're not going to be able to lead your family well.
So that's
just number one. It's simple. It's just like, be in fellowship with other people that are doing that, because it's going to be, you're by osmosis, you're just going to become like them, you know?
Yeah.
Be in your word, be in prayer. Become the leader that you are, and the rest of it'll come.
Yeah,
you don't need this 3-step plan. Just get into God's word, pray, and then you're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better dad. All those things will come. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's some great wisdom. Any last thoughts from you before we jump into the Fast Five?
Dude, you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you
for
brother.
Jumping out. And my heart is church planting. And anytime I have a chance to sit with a church planter, a fellow. A warrior in the stupidest thing you could possibly do. I know there's stories we could tell about our families. Like, my kids aren't kids. They are the sound production team. They are the video production team. They are the cleanup team. They are the setup team. They are. And so I know that, man. So thank you for listening, hearing, and being bold in the faith to step out and trust him. And I pray God's blessing on you and your community for sure, for years to come.
Yeah, if you guys are in this community or if you're around this area, check out this church, a great place. Mike's an okay guy, and so at least you'll have some awesome teaching. And so, So, but man, before we finish, we have a couple of questions for you called our Fast Five.
The sound effect's over.
I love it. I love it. There's a really cool sound effect, and we can't hear it because we don't have our headphones on. It's like a... it's like the Jetsons. It's awesome. It's amazing. So, okay, question one.
Yeah.
Who do you most admire and why?
I'm going to give like such a corny answer to this, but I feel like there's so many hotshot pastors out there, and that's just such a weird thing to even say.
Right. Yeah, right.
I know so many pastors like Pastor Gary in Santee that just preached faithfully for like 30 years and just handed his church off to his son-in-law.
Awesome.
Loves his wife.
Yeah.
You know, raised up his son-in-law to take over the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pastor Ted, who's has a church in Temecula, who just loves his wife, loves his kids, and is faithfully preaching God's word every week. You know, just like those non-famous unsung heroes who are just doing God's work. Those are the heroes, man. I think we got to stop lifting up these pastors that they get the amens, they get the hallelujahs, they're all over YouTube, they're blowing up. It's like, what about the guys who are just faithful to their families and still doing God's work? Because that's a handful.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, you know.
That's a lot. That's
not
a lot.
Saying all those guys aren't faithful to their wives, but anyway.
No. But you mean because there's so many unsung heroes that just kind of do life, and then they just like I said, they just pass it off, and they're like, there was zero fanfare.
Yeah.
But there was also zero scandals, and there was this you know, this beautiful family, and Jesus looks at him and says, "Well done." So
it's not fancy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, number two, where would you like to take your family on a vacation?
Well, man, I'm Italian, so I want to go to Italy. I've always wanted to go there, man. Just like bop it a boopy, see the people, eat the food of my my ancestors. You know what I'm saying?
It's not like we were in a scene of Cinderella right there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bop it a boopy.
Bop it a boopy, you know?
Yeah,
no, man, I want to go to Italy. Italy so bad. That's awesome. Like one of those places. I want to go to Israel as well, but that's like a personal trip I'll probably do with my wife one day. But
yeah.
Italy, man.
Italy's
that's
where, the
that's
place.
That's the spot, man. Get some real food.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Italy. I'm betting their pasta is amazing compared to...
Everyone says it is. Like, the wine is fantastic. I don't know if you drink wine, but they say it is... Like, there's so many preservatives in our wine, it's just you can't... Yeah, it's rancid compared to true Italian wine.
I want to go to Italy now. So what are you currently reading? Whether the Bible or another book or both?
So I'm actually... We're going through the Bible, and... I'm on a Bible reading plan, and we're in Nehemiah right now. And so I know I referenced Nehemiah a little bit earlier, but man, Nehemiah has been absolutely blowing my mind. And so that's where I'm at right now. Ezra, awesome. Nehemiah area. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nehemiah, any are you reading any other books right now?
You know what? I'm actually reading a book on biblical theology right now.
Okay.
Just kind of intro to biblical theology. It's been really solid.
Which one?
I can't think of the name of the author. It's like a guy who has a book over his face. I don't know if you know the reference. I can pull it up.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you guys can post it later. But yeah. It's a solid read. Yeah,
okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Next question. What is a goal you have for this year?
Goal I have for this year? I want to finish the Bible reading plan. It'd be great because it's been a while since I've done like a full read through the Bible. I've been going deeper into different books, but so I'm going to be doing that. And then also I know I don't want to be numbers focused, but I really do want to see our church kind of just break past this little barrier that we've been. We've seen some new families coming and it's more so because I want to see more opportunities for fellowship for everybody within our church.
We
got some kids that are different ages. I want everyone to have a buddy. You know?
No, that's cool. That's cool. I love it. And then last one, most impactful piece of advice you've been given in your life.
Yeah, I'd say the most impactful piece of advice is that the best gift you can give to your wife is a relationship with the Lord.
Mm.
And the best gift you can give to your children is a good relationship with your wife.
That's awesome.
Like, man, that's it. You just focus on the Lord, focus on loving your wife well, and man, your kids just kind of grow up in this beautiful, loving home. It just... Like I said, by osmosis, they just absorb it all. And they know what it looks like to see a father who loves the Lord. They know what it's like to see a father who loves a mother. It's just, it's powerful. So I've kind of tried to live by that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, thanks so much for being on today.
Yeah,
really, really appreciate your time and what you're doing, your faithfulness here to McKinney and what you want to do. And guys, check out his church. Just like we said, we'll put his website inside the link and so all that. But man, we are so glad to have you on. And man, I hope you have a rest of a good day, guys. I hope you guys have an awesome day. Check us out at knownlegacy.org. Look for us on Instagram. Follow us on YouTube as well. You'll see the full video so you can see these beautiful faces. All the time. Right, Travis?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you soon.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.